thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
This thing is on. It's the Computer Corner. It's the Data Doctors here, as we are every Saturday, to talk about technology. And I am so ratcheted up. I'm so hyped up, pumped up, and it's not even a caffeine thing today.
Well, for me, it definitely is. Mountain Dew Game Fuel. I'm heavily caffeinated.
I don't even know what that is.
It's caffeination.
It sounds scary. I'm pumped up on the amazing world of technology and some of the things that I've experience in the last week. I was actually on the road last week when Brandon and crew took the helm. I was actually at our annual International Franchise Association convention, interacting with all my friends in the franchising world, and that in and of itself was just an amazing time. It's just really, really cool to finally meet a lot of people that I knew only through social media, right? But what's cool about social media in this particular situation is that I kind of knew a lot about them before I met them, and then I met them. And so it also helps. Now I'm not just going to the conference and going, well, I'll just meet who I meet. I've got all these people that I want to see that I've been talking to all year through social media. So really, it was a really efficient way to start to build new relationships with people that I had never physically met, but of course had some communication with throughout the year. Now, the reason why I'm hopped up today is because the theme of the show, I believe, is going to be one of those where people going, wow, I didn't know that. Those are my favorite shows.
And I think I'm on the side of these listeners as well.
Yeah, so we're gonna learn you some stuff today, huh?
Definitely.
And I think people are engaging in what's called crowdsourcing, and that's our topic today. About a year ago, we actually introduced this to those of you that are avid listeners, been with us for a while. We did our first real in-depth discussion about crowdsourcing in February last year. We introduced the concept to a lot of people. And I think a lot of people, you know, heard some things and they were like, wow, that's cool. Well, crowdsourcing has just gone nuts in the last 12 years. So we're doing a crowdsourcing revisited show here where those of you that don't know what crowdsourcing is, we'll get you up to speed here in a second. Those of you that heard last year's show, we have got just an amazing assortment of new crowdsourcing websites that you can either be part of the crowd providing the service, or you can be part of the crowd that's asking for the service. But in a nutshell, think of crowdsourcing as outsourcing a task, a business task, to the crowd. The crowd being the 5 gazillion people on the internet.
Rest of the world.
Everybody that's connected, that's out there. One of the early crowdsourcing websites is a website called iStockPhoto. And basically what it was a place that somebody created very ingeniously for photographers to upload their images. And so people, you know, like if we're building a website and I need an image, in the past I'd have to go get a photographer. It's expensive. Go through the photo shoot, pick out which images I want, what have you. And so there's this long process to getting this perfect image for – this is a sniff-free zone there, Taylor. No sniffing, no sniveling, no whining. Tito, can I have a tissue? So iStockPhoto created one of the first big, very popular crowdsourcing sites. So photographers are putting all of this photography up there, and there are ways that people that are interested in buying these images can kind of go through the library and actually just buy the image for points, and there's various ways to do it, but suffice it to say, it was the first of the, well, wait a minute, okay, what else can we do if we combine the crowd? Those of you that have ever tried to send us something on our radio show page, you want to, you know, we, in order to cut down on the spam, we have you go through a form that you have to fill out so that we know whether it's a human. Well, the bad guys, hackers, figured out how to find forms and fill them out automatically, like through these robots. So then we had to go through what these, what are referred to as CAPTCHAs, right? That's the, let me get the acronym here in a second. Basically, the CAPTCHAs are the the little weird text that you got to try to decipher.
And I tell you, some of those are pretty rough. You got to put in a couple different times, but
yeah, because and what's happening is the crowdsourcing site that we use is called ReCAPTCHA, and cool thing is, every time you fill out the form on datadoctors.com/radio or any of the sites that have these little deals that are part of the ReCAPTCHA system, you're actually helping to digitize text that has been scanned. So they're taking these volumes of printed books that in some cases there's only one copy of, and they're trying to digitize them. Well, when the system digitizes a book, it doesn't always scan every bit of text properly. So they end up with all these little odd-looking things that the computer can't recognize as a word. And the human mind can look at it and go, oh, that's I know what the word that is. And so in those cases, you're literally using the webmaster's using that to keep the bad guys out of the website. And you're helping to actually digitize or convert this stuff that nobody, you know, the computer couldn't figure out what it was. So these huge projects like the Library of Congress and that kind of thing,
wow,
where we're all participating as the crowd to help them become, we become human editors, right, on a piecemeal basis, all doing a little tiny piece each, right, times a million people times, you know, 365 days. They're able to get through this huge workload, and it costs them nothing.
That is absolutely
amazing. That is one of the coolest crowdsourcing examples I can think of. So we're going to go in depth throughout the show about some other crowdsourcing opportunities. For those of you that are skilled, creative workers, there's probably 50 different crowdsourcing websites where you could start marketing your services to people all over the world today. And we're going to tell you how to do that as well, because really what we're trying to do is keep you up to speed on this really fast-changing world. And when we find something that we believe is very cool, very helpful, very exciting, it becomes a topic, we get hyped up, and here you have it, crowdsourcing. Google also has a real interesting crowdsourcing program, where, you know, Google Images, a lot of us are looking for images. We use the Google Image Search, right? Well, how does Google's little text-based search engine, how could it know what a picture has in it, right? I mean, there's no text in there that says this picture is, a person in a black suit that's holding a cigar and a cane.
I've always wondered that myself, but it miraculously happened.
Well, remember, Google's all about relevance. So they started a little crowdsourcing game a couple of years ago, where you compete with somebody else online for 90 seconds to see who can come up with the most, as many descriptions for that particular picture that you can in that 90 seconds. And what you're doing is you're actually helping Google index every image that's in their image library.
So that's exactly how that whole problem.
And the way that benefits all of us as Google users is the next time you use Google search for looking for an image, it's going to be that much more accurate because people are out there crowdsourcing their fun time games, right? They're becoming part of a crowdsourcing opportunity for Google. Google didn't have to pay some enormous amount of money to get all this work done. It's phenomenal. It is an amazing, amazing business model. And those of you that are really looking to grow your business or look for a new opportunity, maybe in this next 2 hours, you'll actually be sparked on, wait a minute, I've got a crowdsourcing idea. Those of you that do come up with an idea that make that fortune, all we ask is our 10% referral bird dog fee. Right?
Yeah, 10% sounds reasonable.
10% is right. It is the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are here to talk about crowdsourcing. Join us online, datadoctors.com/radio. Back right after this. If you're not hopped up about crowdsourcing yet, then we got some work to do. The good news is we've got tons and tons of links that we've posted on the website so that you can easily kind of scan through them all and see, you know, which one of these crowdsourcing programs and systems might I be interested in. Everything from, I mean, if you're a real, like, a high-end mechanical engineer, you literally can go find projects in these upper-end, like virtual R&D, like Inocentive. There are challenges out there for chemical engineers and electronic engineers and what have you for hundreds of thousands of dollars that if you solve this problem, we will pay you, you know, some extraordinary sum of money. And if you think about those companies that have that level of R&D need, in the past, they'd get four or five really smart people that they could afford to employ at some enormous cost, right? And hope that they can come up with the solution to the problem.
And pay them. Even
and it wasn't like, if you guys come up with a solution for a problem, then you'll get all your back pay. No, you got to pay them and give them all the tools so that hopefully they will be successful in solving this very complex problem.
Which ends up being pretty expensive.
Well, it does end up being expensive, and you're limited to whatever those four or five guys can come up with. Now, flip this around to the crowdsourcing world. You take a fraction of the price of what the salary was for five people working for a year. You put a challenge out on a website like Incentive, and you say, the first person to solve this problem, we will pay them $100,000.
Wow.
A, you don't pay the money unless you get a solution. B, it costs you a fraction of the cost, and it's going to be who knows how many thousands of engineers trying to figure out this problem for you as fast as they can because they want to beat out somebody else, right?
Yep.
And so you get your solution quicker and cheaper by crowdsourcing. I mean, there's an example of how it can really get nuts in the real big, big businesses. And again, the good news is for the rank and file out there, if you're an out-of-work chemical engineer and you can solve this problem because you go look to see what they're trying to do, say, wait a minute, I have some experience from that from my last job. And it turns out you're able to get that done. Who knows? You could be the guy, right? Netflix did this last year. They had a crowdsourcing contest to figure out the best way to create the referral. Like if you like this movie, then you probably like these movies. I believe that was the system. But they put a challenge out there to everyone out there to say, if you can solve this problem, we'll pay you, I think it was $20,000 or something. They had a big contest. And they had this completely cool thing developed for like $20,000. Got a lot of publicity out of it and got it done quicker than the traditional way of doing things. And that's why crowdsourcing is becoming such an amazing, amazing way to get deal done. But it requires people and everyone out there, whether you are a potential business that's looking to solve a problem or somebody that's employed or maybe you're not employed. I mean, if you're not employed and you're looking for work,
this is one way.
Goodness
to
sakes!
Do it.
At least go start looking. And I only have like this list of like 20 crowdsourcing websites. You can start typing into Google crowdsourcing space and whatever it is your expertise is. So you could say crowdsourcing photographers, crowdsourcing videographers, and then see all the different links that are out there. They're not all necessarily websites that allow you to do that, but if you look through there, you're probably going to find a crowdsourcing program somewhere that somebody put together. So that you can potentially start, it's not necessarily what you're going to do for the rest of your life, but if you're unemployed and you're looking for work and you can do this as a subset or you do it at night, extra money, whatever.
Wow.
You know, it opens up the world. This whole thought that we have borders and trade and that kind of thing, when you start to think in these terms where you could literally do a project for anybody in the world, if you're in some creative or engineering or some... You know, there's even one for people that like to fabricate stuff. Like if you're really good at a machine shop, right, and you have the equipment, but you don't have any projects, there's a website that has all these projects from people all over the world, what they're willing to pay for it, and you go, oh, I'll take that job. So if you're a machine guy or machine shop for hire, there's a crowdsourcing website for you.
Wow.
If you're into micro lending, like people in third world countries that need microloans like $25, or somebody needs $1,000 to start a business in Uganda. Well, if you can get, 10 people to put $100 in or 100 people to put $10 in, you create this group of people, you're crowdsourcing the loan. There's a website for that. There's a bunch of websites for that. I mean, virtually anything that you need to solve in this world today, these crowdsourcing websites are starting to come up. So it's worth investigating. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do for a living. There's probably something out there that's very meaningful to you in the crowdsourcing world. And that's why we're bringing this topic up. And this is why I'm all hopped up. And it looks like Kevin's on. 602-277-5827. That's the phone line. Kevin's on. Has something to say about that topic. I'm anxious to hear that as well. It is the Computer Corner. It's the Data Doctors, as we are here every Saturday it is, right? Every Saturday so that we can try to educate you on the world of technology. 602-277-5827, back after this. Well,
wait.
Am I on? There I am. I can't even hear myself. It's the Computer Corner. I'm your host, Ken Colburn. Still trying to figure out how to push the buttons after being gone for a week. To my right is my son, Taylor Colburn.
How's it going?
What's that?
How's it going?
How about we get closer to the mic so we can actually hear you?
All right. Well.
All right. Hey, Taylor's not just my sidekick on the show once a quarter, or however often you come in. He's a pretty amazing musician.
Well, thank you.
I'm gonna post that YouTube video of you practicing that crazy rhythm. I want to put that on our fan page so that people can see you're multi talented. You're not just a techie dude. You're a musician.
Look at that.
Musician.
Yeah. And Robert, the D man D'Arizio.
I think I like the D man.
Yeah. A regular sidekick as well here, the Data Doctors. If you're just tuning in, you missed a pretty righteous half hour.
Yeah.
And the good news is we'll have it all set up in podcasts so that if you have iTunes, you can subscribe to our weekly podcasts and it'll just come right to your iPhone or to your iPod or whatever you do. Or you can just visit our datadoctors.com/radio page Monday or Tuesday and we'll get it all edited and sent up there and off and running. Now, let's see if I can remember how to do this. Let's go to the phones, which, by the way, we have a couple of lines open, 602-277-5827. Those of you that have engaged in some form of a crowdsourcing website, I'd love to hear from you. Fred, if you'll hang on, I'll take your call off the air as well, since you want to talk about pop-ups. But Kevin, are you with us? Hey, welcome to the Computer Corner. You got some wisdom to share about crowdsourcing?
Well, thanks, Ken and Taylor, for having me. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Welcome.
Yeah, we launched a cycling website back in July. It's still kind of in the beta version, but part of our initiative is it's a user-generated content website as well as our professional content that we produce covering cycling. And one of our projects or advertising tricks is to tell our advertisers, look, there's nothing better than a satisfied customer speaking about your product. So come on board with us, give us a creative brief, and in that creative brief, you know, we'll put that out to our members and tell them, or you will have them create a video of 30 seconds, 60 seconds of why they love that product. And, you know, basically they're going to get a product in return once the contest is over. And
so you're talking about the winner of that contest.
Yeah.
Not everybody does it. Okay. So I'd really view that more as like social marketing as opposed to crowdsourcing. To me, crowdsourcing is using the crowd to really solve kind of a business problem as opposed to leveraging the crowd for marketing.
Well, tomato, tomato, but
I know it's the nuances, but okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you called to get a plug on your website real quick before I hang up on you. What's the URL?
Oh, insidecycling.tv.
Inside?
Yes.
Inside cycling. So I'm assuming you're catering to people that like to watch TV. No, cycle.
Yeah, bike riders, right. Cyclists, enthusiasts.
Yeah.
We're actually going to be webcasting live 33 days of racing. And another part of that crowdsourcing is we're going to be integrating social media where people can actually ask questions. So make it a little bit more interactive. But
sure.
Rather than, you know, Bob Costas asking the question, we're going to crowdsource people to ask their own, you know,
the citizen journalists that are out there that are basically reporting everything that's going on quicker and faster and cheaper than the traditional media at this point, huh?
Exactly. Yeah. We've got it all under one umbrella, basically, in our user interface player,
cool.
You know, social, Twitter.
Okay. All right. Enough of the commercial. We got to go. Thanks, Kevin. He snuck one in on me, huh? Did I hang up on him properly? Yes, looks like I did. You know what? All this new stuff. We're in the new studio. I'm here back and forth all over the place, and I can't remember what's what when it comes to this. Again, you don't have to be calling in about crowdsourcing. You can certainly be calling in about any kind of a computer problem or question. 602-277-5827. In fact, let's see if we can help Fred. Fred, you were calling about some pop-up issues?
Yes, I've got Roxio trying to load onto my computer with the media, Microsoft Media. It flashes up, and now it's flashing on the screen, and it tends to disable my mouse, so I can't even move that around. I went to Skybot, and I got rid of the bots, and I also went to Wayback and to last week to reset it, and it still has that on the computer.
Man, you got more issues than the New York Times.
Yes.
I don't even know where to start with you. Well, it sounds like you got a couple of issues. The Roxio thing, that's a legitimate program now. Are you doing something with, like, DVDs or something, or do you know where that came from?
No, I do not know where that comes from, and I'm not doing it with DVDs.
It's like, surprise!
Yes.
So first thing you can try doing, if you want to try to do this yourself, is go into the control panel.
Yes.
And look to see if there's an add remove programs.
I did, and there's no program in there with Roxio on it.
Okay, because Roxio, and now I should say that if it's truly the Roxio company that makes software, it's legit, but certainly it could be somebody that just used that name.
Yes.
We found out last week, you know those fake security programs that are out there?
Yes.
We've made the big time because somebody has one out there called Data Doctor.
Ah.
They're trying to take advantage of our brand by fooling people into installing this because they see the name and they think, oh, well, it must be the same guys, and it's not, of course.
You know about battery.
I'm sorry?
You know about flattery.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's flat, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. So really what you're going to have to do is there's a lot of stuff going on there. So obviously you're going to have to go through your startup section. You're going to have to go through the registry. This stuff gets kind of technical. See,
yeah.
The problem with all the stuff that's out there that exploits users and their computers these days, the old days where you could buy a program and install it and get rid of the thing. See, if I'm a bad guy and I'm writing bad stuff and I want to get into your computer and I want to do everything I can to make it very difficult or impossible for you to get it out, logically what I'm going to do is I'm going to surf the internet every day looking for people that say, hey, I figured out how to defeat this program, right?
Yes.
And I'm going to re-engineer the program so that that particular fix no longer works. And so they have the upper hand because they know what's out there that's been published that says, okay, here, just install this program and run it. And it'll get rid of the problem. Well, they go and get that program. They figure out how they're doing it. They reverse engineer it. And then they figure out a way to fool that program so that program no longer works. So it's this cat and mouse game that's constantly going on. So you really, depending upon, you know, again, this is real tough when I can't physically see the thing. I'm doing this over the radio. But when you have that many issues going on, it really is going to take somebody that can look at the kind of the under the hood, if you will.
Yes.
With my apologies to Mark Salem. But look under the hood of the operating system to kind of see where it's kind of gotten in there, and you got to be able to go in there and manually take that stuff out. I'm not saying that your particular infection wouldn't have a particular application that could take it out, but there's so many variations of this malware that's out there, and we have to figure out, is this a legitimate problem that just kind of something happened during an install, it just needs to be cleaned up, or is this malware trying to get in there and mess with your computer?
Yes.
So unfortunately, I don't have a 1-2-3 ABC, here you go, and you're all taken care of solution for you. I would suggest that you find a friend or somebody that does understand the underpinnings of Windows so they can at least look at it to figure out what the heck's going on so that you can start to understand what it's going to take to get the thing cleaned up.
Yeah, if I was to go to a good repair station, say at the corner of Thunderbird and 7th Street, about how much would that cost?
Well, the taking a quick look at it is always free at our stores. A full physical is $59, and then from there we figure out, you know, exactly what's going on. You know, kind of like a doctor's office, right?
Yep.
You can give us symptoms, but really what we want to know is the cause. So in order for us to get that, we do a physical, and then if you decide, okay, we want you to fix it, then we apply that physical fee to whatever the solution is. But that you'll know what it is up front. So you're looking at $59 to really get a good analysis of what's going on.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right, Dave. Good luck.
Bye.
And, you know, unfortunately, that's not one of those...
Common.
Well, it's not common. It's just that he's had like four or five things. And,
wow.
And the perplexing part is Roxio.
Roxio might have been a trialware, maybe.
It's possible.
Could have popped up and wanted to
But it would be in the add remove programs,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
so that's
should be.
A little hard to say if that's good, bad, or indifferent. So 602-277-5827. You can call about any and all questions when it comes to technology like... where are we at? 1, 2, 3, I got that right. The lovely and talented Marie now joins the Computer Corner. Marie, how may we be of assistance?
I was wondering what the advantages versus disadvantages of keeping your computer on all the time. I don't have a lot of programs that I have to back up. I just use my computer for for just really small things.
Okay, so there's two reasons to really be concerned about this, and one is the wear and tear on the computer, and the other is how much energy it's consuming.
I see.
So we'll address both of those for you, okay?
Okay.
So the wear and tear issue, there was a thought in the past that if I don't turn off my computer, you know, and turn it off every day, that's 700 and some odd times that I didn't turn it off. Uh-huh. So the chances are the hard drive is going to last longer because it's not going through the startup shutdown thing over and over and over again. That might have been true with like old hard drives, but that's really not a concern now. Hard drives are made to run for some ridiculous amount of time, nonstop. You never have to shut them off. So from a design standpoint, these hard drives, which is one of the items that will wear out quicker if you run your machine on all the time, they're probably going to outlast, you know, in general, they typically outlast your needs, except for the ones that don't. And the bad part is, you know, there's two kinds of hard drives. There's the ones that have failed, and then there's the ones that are going to fail.
Oh.
And then the problem is, well, when's it going to fail? And nobody knows.
Yep.
So that's kind of an ugly deal there. But that's not a reason to shut off your machine every day. So there's no concern there as far as wear and tear. So the issue becomes, do I need to be able to quickly step to my computer, hit a button, and get back to working? Or am I okay going through the whole boot up process every time I want to turn it back on?
I see.
So that would be, from an efficiency standpoint, would determine that. From the power saving side, most computers now have circuitry and system set up so that when you are not using it for a period of time, it goes into sleep or hibernate mode where it's basically just barely sipping on a little bit of power.
Right.
The thing that sucks the most power is your display. Okay. So if you want to be green about your computer, every time you walk away from it, hit the power button on the display because then you're not using any power.
Okay.
Okay. And then you can leave your computer on if that's what's going on. Now, if you're going to go on extended trips, that kind of thing, highly recommend you shut it down, and don't just shut it down. Physically unplug it from all the electrical circuits. You know why?
Why?
A computer that's connected, whether it's turned on or not, if a electrical storm comes through and hits your house, it doesn't really matter whether the computer's turned on or not. If it's physically connected and it jumps your protective devices, your power strips and what have you, it can still destroy the computer electrically.
Oh.
Okay? Okay. Especially like, you know, the late summer here in Arizona, the thunderstorms start to pop up. Make sure that if you're going to be going on a trip or you're leaving, if you're smart, you get out of town, right?
Uh-huh.
Make sure that you shut everything off and unplug. And unplug from the cable, you know, modem and all that stuff. Anything you care about while you're gone, just get all that stuff disconnected from the power so that there's no possibility of taking an electrical surge to the equipment itself. But from the standpoint of your original question, you have to really look at what you're trying to accomplish. Are you trying to extend the life of the computer? Are you trying to save power? What are you trying to do with this?
Probably save power.
Okay, so saving power, as long as your power circuitry is activated on your computer and you're turning off the monitor, you can do that without having to shut the machine off every night. But of course, if you shut it off every night, you're going to save more power. So if you're really a tree hugger, you do that.
There's really no right or wrong answer, is there?
No.
It sounds like, yeah.
There isn't. Everybody's got to look at their needs and their usage and what they're doing it for to figure out what's best for them.
It takes forever for my computer to come on.
I'd leave it on then. Either that or have it look.
And is that because it's an old computer? Because I have the supposedly high efficiency.
I'll tell you what. We got to go to break, but I'm going to put you on hold. I'm going to do a little experiment with you off the air, and we're going to come back and share that experiment with everybody, okay?
Okay.
All right, hang tight there. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctor is about to do an experiment. Stay tuned for more. And welcome back to the Computer Corner. Those of you that are Facebook fans, which, by the way, you simply need to go to facebook.com/datadoctors. I just uploaded a link to the YouTube video where my son, the wildly talented Taylor Colburn.
Why, thank you.
And I'm not biased on this. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
You can check out some hops he has on the drum kit as well, so... crowdsourcing, really, really an amazing way to do business in this technology age, I guess we're in. We're in the technology age, right? really should check out the resources on our website, datadoctors.com/radio. Before we went to break, we were talking to Marie, who had a very common question, which is why I held her over. Marie, thank you so much for holding tight so that we could continue the conversation. You have a very common question. You have a computer that's kind of running slow, and you're trying to figure out why. Is that
correct?
Right? So,
correct.
And your machine is how old?
About 5 years old.
Okay, so a five-year-old machine trying to run today's software, there's a good chance that it's just not, it's a little undermanned. I usually tell people after the third year, if you get 3 years out of a computer in today's kind of cycle, you've done good. And so you're working on almost doubling that life at 5 years. So you should feel good about the fact that you've been able to ride this horse this far.
Interesting. Okay.
Now, again, that really depends on what you're doing. But the fact that you're complaining about the performance, that's one indicator that maybe what you're trying to do no longer suits the, you know, it's like when we all first bought our first car, we didn't really care about much of anything. We just wanted wheels. And heck, you could get a Volkswagen that has, you know, no back seat.
I inherited my grandma's.
Right. Right. And then as you get older, you're going, well, my needs are a little more diverse, and I'd like to get something, maybe an SUV, so that I can carry some things. And I need a rack to put my skis on, that kind of thing.
Correct.
So that same car is no longer effective. It's too slow. It can't carry enough people, that kind of thing. Same thing is going to happen with a computer if your use of the computer changes, which is very common. Obviously, in a five-year period, a lot of stuff's happened, right? And there's a lot of new things you can do that you just kind of slowly add on, and then suddenly your computer can't keep up.
Right.
So the quick test we like to always do to verify that that might or might not be the case is do a quick checkup on your computer. And we've done this a million times. We'd like to do this again. We had you go to your task manager. So you make sure nothing's running. You just Windows sitting at its desktop.
Right.
You just do a Control-Alt-Delete, or those of you that like to right-click, you can right-click on your taskbar and choose the task manager option. But what we want to do is pop that task manager interface up so that we can kind of do a quick check. So this is the doctor doing a quick, you know, check blood pressure, that kind of thing. First thing we want to look at is down on the left-hand corner of that task manager window is the processes. And how many processes are running on this machine?
38.
Okay. So for a machine running Windows, it's a, you know, it's a few more processors. You might have three or four that we might be able to get rid of, but you're not like 50 or 60 or 80, right? Which will tell you, okay, I got a problem. This thing's just loaded up. Okay. And the other thing we want to look at is there any kind of hidden infection, something going on? And one of the quick ways to indicate, or at least to check to see if there's something going on, is if you click on the performance tab, you look at the CPU meter, you're not doing anything. So the CPU shouldn't be, it should be an idle, right?
It says 0% and then it jumps to 2% every so often.
Right. So it's going to be doing a little something here and there. But people that have really slow machines where it's slow all the time, that meter will be jumping up and down all around constantly, like up to 100%, up to 80%, or even, you know, that kind of thing. It's a quick indication. You got something going on in your computer that has nothing to do with you. Something snuck in there, right? Could be malware, could be a virus, could be those kinds of things. So you passed both those tests. So in your case, it sounds like you just have a machine that's probably getting ready to be retired.
And to retire it, can you come to your offices and trade in?
We don't really have a trade in. We certainly have a recycling program that you can make sure that this gets in the hands of the recycler. So let me put you on hold, though, because we're coming up on a break here. Datadoctors.com/radio if you want to learn more about crowdsourcing. And, of course, you can call in at 602-277-5827. Hour number two coming up. It's the Computer Corner. The Data Doctors are in the house.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode.
Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
oh! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
And welcome to hour number two of the Computer Corner. It is, in fact, the Data Doctors. Talking technology. Actually, today we're specifically focusing in on one of the coolest things that's happened as a result of this internet revolution, and that is crowdsourcing. If you're just joining us, check it out at datadoctors.com/radio. And you'll see an explanation of crowdsourcing along with a plethora of crowdsourcing websites that'll start to get you into this amazing world. It's one of those things that it's a little hard to understand at first, but once the door opens and you understand how powerful this is. Hello. before we go on, however, Roberto, are you ready?
I am definitely ready.
It's time for you to shine.
You like it?
Yeah, I like this music. You guys were complaining about this music?
Dude, it's a little...
Hey, this is from the 80s. Yeah, I'll take this music. It's like the 80s called. They want their music back. Every week we try to bring you a term, a component of the vernacular that is, typically thrown around out there in the world of tech, because tech people like to talk and make sure that people around them don't know what they're saying because it makes them feel good about themselves. And we're here to debunk and demyth that and put you on an even field so that next time they say that thinking you don't know what it is, you're going to go, I listen to the Computer Corner. I know what that is. So, no further ado, this week's Geek Speak of the Week is... Roberto?
It is... You ready? It's Walled Garden.
Walled Garden. So, if somebody hears somebody else talking about, they operate in a walled garden, what are they talking about?
Controlled access environment, pretty much, is what they're talking about. Employers put their employees in a controlled access environment.
Right.
Maybe for security reasons.
Like a lot of people saying, I don't want you surfing social media and eBay and those kinds
Email, of things. Email, right. And I don't want you to get our business computers infected with all your junk.
And so they put them in a walled garden.
Which means you can't do much anything.
And so all those people out there that say, well, I don't work in one of those environments, so I don't have to worry about it. Those people out there that have AOL, should they know something about being in a walled garden?
I think so.
Most of you that love the AOL interface, and congratulations, and more power to you if you like that.
Almost online, right?
Yes. Actually, the other way is always offline. AOL. When you first log in and you see all those cool things about the latest celebrity gossip and the newest car and all that stuff, and it flips around and all that stuff, you're actually in a walled garden. That is AOL's version of the internet that they're delivering to you. Because they have deals with advertisers and things, and so they want to make sure you see this stuff because the advertisers pay them for those eyeballs. Because if you went directly to the internet and went to Google and started surfing for what you wanted, you wouldn't see this stuff that you were basically didn't care anything about, and they wouldn't make the money.
That's how AOL's staying afloat, right?
That's right. So they keep you in that walled garden, which, again, I'm not knocking this. If this is the way you like to consume your information, great. Wonderful. I just kind of like that open thing where I get to decide where I'm going to get my information today instead of it's always coming from these guys. I mean, it's no different than people that start their computer up and it goes to MSN. I mean, it's they're not restricting things really, and AOL's not really restricting things, but they're basically delivering content they want you to see. So if you tend to click around on whatever's on the MSN page, you're kind of in a walled garden there too. Yeah. Because they're determining where you go, as opposed to you just saying, okay, today I'd like to go to. So if you hear somebody snickering and talking about how you live in a walled garden...
I can't do my social chatting while at work.
Whatever. Now you know what it means. Hopefully that helps. All right, so crowdsourcing. Cool stuff. Let's go to another crowdsourcing site here that I think is really cool. Taylor, you, of the list that I had there, you saw one that you thought was particularly interesting for people that like freebies.
Yeah, Buzz Agent, which I've actually been playing around with, and it's fairly simple.
Isn't it Buzz Agent?
Okay, yeah, there's no U.
Yeah,
but
Buzz Agent. Buzz Agent.
That's just weird.
BZZ Agent, Buzz Agent.
It's pretty cool because it's basically just a system where you go through and do these not at all difficult, like, surveys slash...
Reviews.
Reviews, yeah. And if you go through and earn different ranks throughout, you get different perks. It's all free. It's really not that cost effective. It's not that
time
consuming.
Yes.
There we go.
Yes.
That's what I'm looking for. I've just now established my account.
You're going to become a Buzz Agent?
Yeah, I know. I'm almost to the second level, which would be like you get event invitations.
Okay, so
like
so the end all be all in this is a system that basically people that want to share their reviews with their friends,
right.
Sign up for this thing. If you have a product that you want to try to get some buzz on, and I can't afford to buy a 30-second ad on the Super Bowl, and even if I can, maybe I can say, wait a minute, for a lot less money, I can give 10,000 people my product to have them review, who each one of those people will tell, you know, 10 people, so that's 100,000 people.
Right.
They're going to learn about this for a fraction of the price
and actually include,
of the Super Bowl ad.
I will actually press and find an actual survey, because it includes questions related to that exactly.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the gist of it. Anybody right. interested in doing that, if you want those freebies, you want to do reviews, that kind of thing, that's one way. Just about anybody out there that's interested in this stuff could start, you know, crowdsourcing.
Right.
Kind of contributing their little 2 cents on there. Hey, by the way, our newsletter this week, I didn't even touch on that. It's a good one. No, it's a great one. Nay, I say it's fabulous. It's that good. Really is. Have you read it?
Yeah, I did. It's very fabulous.
Sure you did. You don't read my newsletters.
I actually archive them.
So do we. A couple of quick things that I think you may find interesting. The first is our tip of the week, which is you can now test drive a cell phone online before you buy it. How cool is that? Everybody is looking at these new phones. They're going, man, I wish I could play with it. Ha-ha! Uncle Ken found you a website where you can actually test drive virtually any cell phone out there before you buy it.
No kidding.
They have a virtual version of it that you can press the buttons and see how it works and the functionality. And obviously, you don't get the feel and what have you.
Oh, so it's all virtual.
Yeah, nice. But still, I mean, really what you want to know is how does this work? Which button do you press to do this, right?
Is this going
to
be a user-friendly menu system?
It's the phone.
Yeah.
It literally comes up as the phone.
Nice.
It's called tryphone.com.
Hmm.
How funny is that?
Trifle.
And they're hoping that you might buy the phone through them if you test it out or whatever, and that's really the point of this one. They probably got deals with phone vendors and what have you, but, you know, I mean, there's so many crazy phones out there, especially with the smartphones.
Well, geez, and can you imagine jumping around from Verizon to AT&T stores to T-Mobile stores trying to touch all their phones?
You'd want to kill something, right? You'd want to kill somebody.
Yep.
So here you go. It was a quick way. Our head whack of the week, and that is something that you go, oh, yeah! Right?
I've done that.
That noise.
How do you spell that? I don't remember.
A few G's, a U.
Exactly. Today's tip is undo and undo.
Hmm.
This is probably the most forgotten keyboard shortcut that has phenomenal usage. I use it all the time because I'm constantly messing up. Everybody knows Control Z, right? That's the undo. Well, what happens if you've been drinking too much coffee and you hit it twice, right? You undid two things. You didn't mean to undo two things. You only meant to undo one thing.
So how do you redo?
Undo the undo, or the redo, which is Control Y.
So you redo what you undid.
Correct. So you undo the undo.
Nice.
Work with that one for a while, huh?
I've done that before.
Undo the undo. And, of course, our Geek Speaks in there. We've got a little warning for you that are active still in instant messaging. I mean, is anybody even doing instant messaging anymore? Is that really?
I am. Yeah. For the most part, it's just things like radio shows like this that would just want to be talking to viewers simultaneously.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but the hip kids don't. I mean, they don't. I mean, is anybody even doing instant messaging anymore? Is that really?
I am. Yeah. For the most part, it's just things like radio shows like this that would just want to be talking to viewers simultaneously.
Yeah, I'm just saying, but the hip kids don't. I mean, they don't.
Not near as much anymore because it's all incorporated into MySpace and, and Facebook now.
But if you, MySpace, Facebook, all that stuff, basically the story is that beware of strangers on IM who won't answer your questions. People that seem to be there but not there, they're bots. And
yeah,
they're trying to infect you.
There's quite a bit of those actually on MySpace and Facebook now as well.
How many times have you heard, when will we find, put these hackers in jail? When is that going to happen? How come nobody ever gets, I got good news for you. We have a record 13-year sentence for a San Francisco hacker.
Really?
Sentenced on Friday for 13 years, the longest sentence ever for a hacker. I guess we're getting tougher. So you can, if you want to feel good about that, we finally got one. That story is this week's newsletter. How about the GPS, a stalker's best friend? Yeah. You might want to figure out if you got a GPS, you might want to figure that out. So check all of that out. If you're not a newsletter subscriber, go to our website, datadoctors.com/help. And look at the archives there. I've gone long, but we've got much more to go. It's the Computer Corner and the Data Doctors back right after this. Again, I'm pressing the wrong buttons. It's the Computer Corner.
Thank God for only the three I got to worry about.
Well, I keep talking and not hearing myself, and when I do, and anyway. It is the Computer Corner. The Data Doctor's here, still trying to figure out this wonderful, incredible new studio here at KTAR. It's phenomenal. And I know none of the KTAR management listens to this show on the weekends because we're just not that interesting. So, but if they are listening, thank you, thank you, thank you. Look at all these TVs and stuff and buttons and electronics and I can't figure it out. We're talking about crowdsourcing, and I could talk for the next 12 hours about all the cool stuff that's out there. But rather than do that, I've put a pretty extensive list of crowdsourcing websites where that crowdsourcing is a combination of outsourcing and the crowd. So you're outsourcing a task to the crowd.
Being on the listener side of this, I am just blown away by for small businesses that need stuff done a lot less expensive. For those of you that have a hobby that could get paid on it, I mean, it just blows my mind.
We used one for a project that we had a while back. It's called Name This. And so, like, you want to do a real cheap consumer research study on a product or what have you. You could use something like Name This, because you say, here's what the service does, or here's what the product does. We're just trying to come up with a good name for it, right? And so what happens is you submit this to Name This, and you put a bounty on it. You say, the first place person gets the most votes gets this money. So the person gets second most votes gets, you know, $25. So it's 50, 25, 10, whatever. You make it up. You decide what you want to use as a bounty, or you don't have to have a bounty at all. And if you don't, then people go, I'm not going to participate. But for a couple $100, like $100 to the website and $100 to the people that are participating, you can say, here's what I've got. I'm going to let this run for 2 days. I think we got like 450 submissions for names.
Wow.
For this product. It was fabulous. And you don't have to, you're like, the crowd votes for their favorite, right? But that doesn't mean you have to use that one. You can use any one of the 425 names because it fits your marketing needs, right? 2 days, you got this extensive market research. Because if you do something like this and you put it out there and nobody can come up with a name, maybe you should rethink the product.
The concept, yeah.
Maybe it's not that good.
Well, though, if you hire an advertiser, you're not going to get 400 results.
Well, sure you will, but they're going to say, well, we took the 400 and narrowed it down to these three.
Yeah.
Which, you know, we're the experts. We're going to tell you this. And I mean, it's not that they're not. They are. It's just this is a quick way. And, I mean, not a lot of small businesses can't afford an ad agency, a real powerful one with, you know, 20 people thinking in a room. That's big-time stuff. Well, now you can.
Now you can.
You source the crowd. Crowdsourcing. Buzz Agent, we talked about already. We talked about microlending. That's Kiva.com. That's a really, really cool website. That's a place where you can really make an impact in somebody's world. I mean, you want to help people in the other parts of the world that are really in need. Well, to me, the best people to help are the people that are motivated to start a business in these, third world countries or whatever. They're motivated looking. And this is a cool website where you do a good deed. You're risking $20, $25. You say, okay, I'll throw $25 into the pool to help fund that guy's project. I mean, how cool is that?
Wow.
And if it turns out that it works and they repay the loan, you make a little bit of money on it. But more importantly, you feel really good about, I helped somebody on the other side of the world start their own business. And I got a little hooch out of it.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Crowdsourcing. It's not all about making money. Sometimes it's about making change.
It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable.
And that's change you can believe in. anyway, it's the Computer Corner, and we do have more change for you in the last half hour. There, we got a few other segments, a few other ideas, a few other tips for you. We really appreciate everybody chiming in. Dave had a great question about what about the downside to crowdsourcing. When we come back, we're going to talk about how these sites manage that so that you don't get shafted, I guess is the proper term, right? if you're engaging in that. So it's the Computer Corner, 602-277-5827 or datadoctors.com/radio. Join us online or via the phone lines. Back after this. Hey, it's the Computer Corner. How do I know that? Because I just said
we're
it.
Here.
Didn't I just say that?
You did just say that.
Hey, maybe turn your mic volume up or something. You just barely.
Am I just barely coming through?
Yeah, but get closer or something. I don't know what your deal is.
Okay. Well,
come on, you're trying to be a master thespian.
Bam.
Enunciate. Hey, by the way, Facebook fans, You tell me, am I just being a proud papa, or does Taylor actually have some chops when it comes to playing the drums? I mean, we got the video up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors.
I'll definitely have to check that out.
Yeah. It's really spectacular. Crowdsourcing. Really something you got to check out. I think I've said enough. datadoctors.com/radio if you really want to see the links that are going on, and we'll get this all edited up so you can listen to this over and over again, so that some of this stuff will start to penetrate the melon, because there's some cool stuff on there. All right, back to the phones. We're going to talk to one of my newest friends and one of the coolest guys I've ever met when it comes to social media that we're going to actually have on the show later on. BJ Emerson, who does some pretty groundbreaking stuff with social media. I met him at the International Franchise Association. Actually, we met on Twitter, actually, through all the franchising folks, Deb from Computer Explorers and her crew and what have you. So I finally got to meet BJ at the conference. And BJ, hey, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, no problem.
You you got a little something to give the folks on crowdsourcing?
I do. Just a practical little tip that's actually free. If you're, instead of being a part of the crowd and providing information, perhaps a small business owner or someone with a website or blog wants to gather information from a group of people, whether you have an email list that you have or friends or followers, whatever it is, you can actually go and for free go on to Google Docs, Google Documents, and you can create a form and create a survey that will be linked to a Google spreadsheet. And so what you do is you share this link and you build this little form with some questions and so forth. And then what it does, when they fill out the form, it automatically populates this spreadsheet on different rows that you can then share with someone else. So
okay, but does this take BJ level of intelligence, or is this something the average Joe that's never really worked with spreadsheets can do?
You would not believe how easy it is to create a Google form, a link to a spreadsheet, and then you just populate it on your website or send the link in an email. It's very easy to do. Just go on to Google Docs and say create a form, and it will walk you right through it, and it's very simple to do. So you get to get all these free insights.
Yeah, you can ask people. You get the feedback from the crowd. So let me ask you this. You willing to put your money where your mouth is?
Sure.
You know me by now, huh? You said it's easy. So what's the tech support mechanism if they go, okay, BJ, I tried it. It's not easy. I need your help. Can I tweet you?
Sure.
There you go. So what Twitter address should they look you up on?
BJ underscore Emerson is one that I have.
Yeah.
They could do that.
Okay. BJ underscore Emerson Twitter. Well, I'm sorry?
Very simple to do.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, I like it when people bring tips, and then somebody like you, I know you now, I go, okay, well, if you're going to tell people it's easy and they say it's not, then I don't want them calling me. You don't know what you're in for when you come out here to visit, my friend.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, we're going to have fun. Thanks for chiming in there, BJ.
All right.
All right, there's my buddy, that amazing guy. I'm just going to leave it out there that somewhere down the road, BJ's going to be here in studio, and those of you that are trying to figure out how to use social media to really have an impact on your business, he's the man. We're going to bring him in here. We're going to blow your mind with this kind of stuff that he's doing. So check that out. He's also the guy behind the Tasty Delight stuff that you're, if you're really into social media, you're tracking Mashables, you're going to see stories about how Coca-Cola and Procter & Gamble and all these companies are doing some cool stuff with social media. These are huge organizations. They always include Tasty Delight in those discussions. So wow. Here's this smaller company that's doing stuff on par with these big companies. It's because of that man right there. So we're gonna bring him in here at some point in the near future and just suck all that wisdom out of his head for 2 hours or maybe.
That'll be pretty cool.
See how long it'll go. So.
You got me pretty passionate about this. I was looking up a little bit more about this crowdsourcing. There is a UK-based car manufacturer called Caterham Cars.
Yes.
That is going to build a sports car based on crowdsourcing, and we should see a production model in 2011.
No kidding.
So that could be pretty cool.
No kidding. You know what? Yeah. Let's go to a non-crowdsourcing call here. Let's see if we can help Gabe. Gabe, thanks for holding. What you got going there? You got some kind of hard drive issue?
Yeah, I had a grandson go on a site that he shouldn't have, and it froze my computer. Every time I turned it on, I couldn't get it off. The main screen, I guess it is. Gave it to a friend of mine. He said he reformatted it, and now I can't really get it to do anything.
He reformatted it, huh?
Yeah.
This guy calls you his friend?
Yeah.
That's not
what
cool.
I'm worried about. Here,
okay, so part of the mantra of this show is to learn from other people's pain. So I'm not sure I can help you, in retrospect, but let's just talk about this very common situation.
Okay.
You were in a situation, you went to somebody that you believed could help you. They did the best they could, and because they don't do this for a living, they weren't really thinking about what happens after I reformat it. And the reason I'm bringing this up is there are a lot of technology service firms that take this same approach. The quick and easy way for them to fix the problem is just to wipe you out and start over again and say, there you go, your computer's great. And then you say, well, where's my stuff? You go, it's not my problem.
I fixed your
problem. The computer works fine. That's what you wanted me to work on.
And that's exactly what happened.
Exactly. I mean, how do I know this happens? maybe 21 years of doing this, something has sucked into my noggin. So anyone out there, anytime you hear your friend, your technician, your service company, anybody saying, well, I'm going to reformat your hard drive, or I'm going to wipe out Windows and start over again. Stop them right there. Okay. Not that that's not the right solution, but now you need to go into this whole process of going, okay, let's talk about what's going to happen after you wipe everything out. What do I have to do to get it back to where I can use it? And then the question becomes, well, what is it that you need to have working? And then you have to go through and say, do I have the disks? And then you say, well, where's my backup? Do I have a backup? You see, this is a very complex thing. To trying to get the thing back to where, even close, you'll never get it to the same position it was when before you wiped it out, because you built that up over what, years, right?
Right.
All your favorites and all your connections, and I mean little things like my digital camera won't connect anymore.
Right.
I can't print. I can't connect on the network. Where are all my favorites? People don't really realize how much personalization goes into the computer and these techs. Anyone out there, shame on you if you're a technician and this is how you treat these people because you're lazy.
Yep.
I'm calling you out publicly on the air. If you're in the technology service business and that's your practice, either change your practice or get out of the business, because I'm going to warn everybody that you're not actually helping them. You're not concerned about them. All you're trying to do is just make it a quick buck.
And my biggest thing was is I had a whole bunch of award-winning published photos of all different things, especially my grandkids, that I apparently are now gone, right?
Well, no, not necessarily. How long ago did he do this?
I'd say less than 6 months ago.
Oh.
I haven't been able to do anything to the computer.
Okay, so you haven't done a whole lot with it since?
No, sir. No,
okay,
sir.
Well, that's actually good news, Gabe. Because one of the specialties we have is we have this world-class data recovery lab that does all kinds of forensic work. And
that is exactly why I called you.
Okay. So there's a possibility
that
we can get some portion of that stuff back for you depending upon what has happened since he did this.
I love you.
Really? I'm feeling a lot of love in this room. Now, you know what? It's a service that we've been doing for. In fact, this week's newsletter goes back to a 2005 video we did with Channel 12, where we actually rescued some stuff off a camera card from one of the last guys to get airlifted out of the Katrina havoc. This hospital tech. So it's an interesting little video to see in our newsletter. But I'm going to put you on hold here, and I'm going to get you set up so that we can, I'm going to try to clean up the mess of another person that calls themselves a tech in this world.
CAD department at the company I work for, and now I'm going to see him Monday and kill him.
Yeah, you should.
Here's the deal.
I think there's a lot of misunderstanding about people that work in some form of technology that they somehow know how to service computers. I've had people say, well, this guy works at Intel. I should have him, look at my computer, right? I said, the guy pushes a broom.
Yeah.
Well,
he's a custodian at Intel.
Now I came back to the company after a layoff, and he doesn't even know how to get me the speakers working on the computer at my desk so that I can listen to radio.
Okay, what's this guy's first name? I don't want his last name. What's his first name?
Alan,
don't quit your day job.
It doesn't take a tech to put in a recovery disk, that's for sure.
Yeah, no, that's the easy, cheap, that's just a despicable way. Now, this guy's not doing it for a living, so that's a different situation.
Amen.
He tried to help you out. He didn't really understand what he was doing. But again, everyone out there, let's all learn from Gabe's pain.
Thank you.
I'm going to put you on hold here. I went long again, but I guess that's the way it's going today. No, I didn't go long.
No, we're good.
I looked at the numbers wrong.
So if you have a friend that's a tech and you want them to help you out, just say, do not reformat my
drive.
No.
It's not that, because there are times.
Without approval.
There are times. And in our, we track this because we know that this is where we're going to have the most problems and the most likely situation where a customer is going to be upset because they didn't really realize what's going to happen. So we're really sensitive to this because it's a big deal for us. I think it's less than 2% of the machines we touch in all 50 stores across the entire year actually qualify for that service. So in other words, we got to exhaust every possibility before we go to that, because we realize how much work it's going to be for the user. Yes, it's more work for us, but that's what they came to us for. So again, anyone out there, learn from Gabe's pain. I know your friend is well-meaning. I know he's trying to help you, but look at the kind of mess they can make just from one bad decision. This is one that you should be able to remember. It's not technical. If they say anything about reformatting or wiping out and starting over, or recovery, or anything like that, where it sounds like they're going to start the thing over again, you should stop and really kind of think through, okay, I'm going to have to assume that there's nothing on this computer when I get it back. So that being the case, before I allow this to happen, let me set up the game plan so that I understand what I'm going to have to do on the other side. Do I have the disks? Do I have my data backed up? Do I even know where the stuff is on my computer? And if not, then you need to say, okay, we can't do it that way. We got to find another way to do this, or get somebody else involved that can help us put this plan together, because it's really complicated. Yeah. Those of you that have a laptop that's under warranty and you're sending it back to the manufacturers, this is a very common thing that they will do. They assume you have a backup. You send that laptop back for warranty service, for a cracked screen or whatever else. And just as a service, they wipe everything out and put it back to the way it was when you first bought it. Of course, they didn't tell you they were going to do that, but they did. Be very, very careful in those situations as well. Gabe, hang tight there. We appreciate you sharing your pain. It's the Computer Corner. Now I have gone 10 seconds over. We'll be back right after this. Well, I'm hoping that we got you charged up somewhere along the line here with today's show. We certainly enjoyed it. Enjoyed all the input, and I mean, it's we're gonna have to like rethink everything here. We got Twitter and Facebook and all this stuff going while we're trying to do this show, and it's great. I love the feedback. I love all my tweeps, so we call them. By the way, those of you that are struggling with social media, both from a perspective of just in general for your personal use, or more importantly, if you're a business, stay tuned. Keep listening to all of our various mechanisms, Twitter, Facebook, our newsletter, whatever it is, and make sure you listen to the show when we get BJ out here. We're going to fly him out here. We're going to spend some time together for lots of reasons, but we want to get him out here because this guy absolutely is doing it. He's one of the leaders of the whole social media world when it comes to actually executing. You know, it's not like just go out there and tweet, because most people go, well, I don't know why. If you're one of those people going, I know there's something going on, I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing, you got to listen to this show. I assure you, you will come away from this show with some amazing perspective on how the social media world actually can assist you in anything you're doing. It is not a fad, folks. This is a revolution. It's going on right now, and you don't want to be caught behind the curve. Now, most people don't realize, you know, Bill Gates missed the internet revolution.
Really?
That's how Netscape and all this other stuff happened. If you read the book and the history on this thing, they basically treated it like most people are treating social media in the early days of the internet. They looked at, because they were selling Windows, and you know, it was about the personal computer and all this stuff, right? Software. That internet thing was just whatever, send emails and that kind of thing. So there were a couple of seminal moments when Gates got had an epiphany, saying, "Oh my word. We missed this and basically redirected all the companies." It's a very fascinating study. It's a great lesson in history. Those of you, I mean, think about this. Could you imagine a company today that didn't have a website or didn't use email? It's not that you can't operate a business, but like, you're in the dark ages.
Yeah, it's one of the easiest things to do.
But you're out of the loop, right? Yep. So that's what's going to happen over the next 5 years with social media. If you don't understand it, you're going to be left out of the revolution that's moving forward. This is where the world is going. This is how we've said this before. We did a whole show on how email is dead. This is one of the reasons why email is dead. Email's not my primary mode of communication with people I really want to connect with. because things like Twitter and Facebook allow me to connect with people directly. There's no junk and spam. I can block people. I can unfriend them. I can do all these things. It allows me to manage my relationships, the ones I really care about, a whole lot better than email ever could. So it's a little precursor to what should be a mind-blowing show with BJ. So stay tuned to that. We haven't figured out exactly which weekend we can get him out here, but we're going to get him out here because he's really awesome. BJ underscore Emerson at on Twitter, if you wanted that, or Tasty Delight is who he's doing a lot of the stuff for now. So check all that out. Okay. Let's try to wrap this up, though, because we've got, what do we got here? A couple of minutes. Datadoctors.com/radio. That's where all the crowdsourcing links are. That's also where the archive of this show, the whole show, will be edited and put up on there for your listening pleasure. And of course, if you listen to podcasts through iTunes, you can subscribe to our podcast. So as soon as we upload them, they'll just appear in your iTunes folder.
Very convenient.
Right. And just search for Data Doctors in the podcast section and you'll start to see that. And of course, you can listen to a lot of old shows. Tons and tons of great crowdsourcing websites that you may want to be a participant in one way or the other. You heard BJ's system where you can start to try to access the crowd to help you with some research that you're doing with those Google tools. You can check that out. On Twitter, my personal handle is The Data Doc. So if you're just starting out with Twitter and you want to look for us online and you want to follow me on Twitter, The Data Doc. Just search for that and you'll find me. Our Facebook page is really our early warning system for our fans. So if you listen to the show and you want to be alerted to things that we learn during the week, you don't want to wait till next Saturday to learn about some new threat or what have you, become a fan of Data Doctors. It's facebook.com/datadoctors. It's real easy to say. Become a fan and boom, and you'll start to see it in your feed there so that when we post things up, like, I want to know from the fans out there. Nobody's posting anything about your little drum rhythm there.
Well, also,
they don't care.
I'm going to be on the entire time that we're on air. I'm going to be working on, going back and forth between Twitter and Facebook and all these other things and juggling around to listen to what you guys have to say while we're talking.
Yeah, we're gonna create more and more of that interaction here on the show. So, again, datadoctors.com/radio for all of the stuff that you saw today. And you can also subscribe to the newsletter right there. Scroll down to the bottom there. See what the archives look like or subscribe if you'd like that. Robert, thank you.
Thank you.
Taylor,
you're welcome.
Had a good one, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day, everybody. It's the Data Doctors signing off with another edition of the Computer Corner Crowdsourcing. You need to learn about this. Check it out, datadoctors.com/radio.